wrong. You're never going to go wrong doing God's word. We just always know to do God's word, to do what he says. And I want to keep going with that. But the thing is, I got a number of different pieces to fit together, and sometimes I'm not sure how they're all going to fit together. But here's three thoughts I want to give you today, and I don't know if I'll get to all of them or not. And I don't want to go too fast, but how many of you know sometimes you just have to fight to get to Jesus? Okay? You have to fight to get to Jesus. And then here's another thing that happens to us. God showed me this 2 weeks ago in prayer. We know the word in our head. We have gotten our minds renewed. Now, I pray you catch this one here. We've gotten the word of God into our mind, and we've gotten our minds renewed. And what we begin to do without knowing that we're doing it, we start to run out of the knowledge that we have in our head, our renewed mind, and we somehow let the relationship part of our walking with Jesus go. And you almost can't quite tell the difference. It can look the same, but yet there's something missing. There's that life part that's missing. And I can say from personal experience, having known Jesus for over 30 years now, and from having gotten my mind renewed, that I have caught myself at times running out of the knowledge that I have in my head and just letting the relationship part go. Amen? Turn to look at somebody and say, oh, he might be talking to you. Amen? You know, we don't know what happens. We don't know what happens, but it happens. And then the third thing is simply that Jesus is the vine. That Jesus is the vine that talks about in John chapter 15. And a branch that's not connected to the vine isn't going to do real well. See, we can have the head knowledge up here, but the vine isn't connected. Amen? Hallelujah. So, and then when I was up at, I went to a conference for Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, came back up in Dickinson, North Dakota with Pastor Hagen and Lynette, and just got blessed. And God put something in my heart. We've been looking at a number of scriptures. I'll just tell you what they are. We're not going to turn to all of them, but you might want to look some of them up and study them on your own. We'll turn to some of them. And you could take and turn to Mark chapter 5. Go ahead and turn to that. And Luke chapter 5. Let's start out by just turning to those two. We'll turn to those two. But there's some other ones in there too. There's Luke chapter 7. There's Luke chapter 5. We'll see how many we get to. But I'll give you a chance to get open to those verses of Scripture. I'm trying to get traction here and get going. When you have a lot of stuff you want to get done, and there's an order to get it done in. So you're still glad you're here? Amen. How many of you are going to take in? You're going to take in today. You're not going to just let me talk to you. You're also going to let the Holy Spirit talk to your heart. Amen? How many of you know this about the Holy Spirit? That if he's not welcome, or if he's not really wanted, he sometimes will just stand on the side. You know that verse of Scripture in Revelations where it says, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock? How many of you know that was written to believers? Amen. Now, the church world for years has used that verse of Scripture to reach the lost, and that's fine. That's fine. It's getting people saved. But that verse of Scripture wasn't written to the lost. That first verse of Scripture was written to a church. That verse of Scripture was written to believers. And isn't it amazing that Jesus stands at the door and knocks? What's that an indication of? He's waiting for an invitation. He's waiting for somebody to let him come in further because he has more to speak. Notice he just doesn't rip the door open and come in. How many of you want to open the door? Well, I got the door open. You know, sometimes that's what gets us in trouble. We think we got the door open, but we're just running out of that head knowledge. Amen. And I know it can be true for me as a minister. I know I got stuff to share. I got good stuff to share. And if you guys will draw on that gift, if you'll pull on that gift, more stuff will pour out than I'm aware of. Because how many of you know the Holy Ghost has got more than I got? Amen. And he's the one in here. And when people pull and when people draw, it makes all the difference in the world. So I just want to do this real quick. I don't know if I have time to... That's where I'm wrestling time. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to start there. Luke chapter 5. You guys all got turned there? Luke chapter 5. You going to work with me here today? Amen. Luke chapter 5. We left off here. I got a couple of things. Luke chapter 5. I'll read verse 16 on down. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they sought to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. So when he saw their faith, he said to them, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning this in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sin," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Okay, now a couple of things. I wanted to read that one. Did these guys carry in the one, did they have to fight, did they have to work just to get to Jesus? Amen. They had to fight, they had to work just to get to Jesus. In our lives today, you guys, there are times where we have to fight, where we have to work just to get to Jesus. Now, somebody might be going, "But Pastor, I'm born again. I have a relationship with him. I know him." I agree with you. Yeah, you do know him. You are born again. But our lives, you guys, get so busy and so full of stuff that we have to fight through that stuff to stay connected to the vine, or we start just operating out of our head. And you can get by with that for a period of time, but I guarantee you, after a while, it's going to dry up. A week ago, I had this illustration, and I was going to, you know, use this, but I never got to it. I tore this off one of the vines outside of our house just a week ago. Just a week. Wow. Didn't take long not being connected to the vine. It's still a branch. It's just not connected to the vine. Doesn't take much. It just crumples right away. See, that life source, that relationship part where Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. The branch can do nothing apart from the vine." There's a connection there. And in the busy, crazy world that we live in today, sometimes we have to fight just to get to Jesus. Okay? Think about Jairus. Jairus is a Pharisee. This is one of those that's in Mark chapter 5. He's a Pharisee. Okay? Were most Pharisees on the side of Jesus? They weren't. Okay? I'm going to use two illustrations. It'll really make the point. And please don't get upset with me no matter which party you're with. But could you imagine if a Republican left the Republican Party and went over and joined the Democrats? What would a bunch of Republicans think? Okay, so what if the Democrat left the Democratic Party and went over to the Republicans? You know, you'd have all kinds of, boy, there'd be some irritated, ticked off people. What do you think Jairus was dealing with? He's a Pharisee. And the Pharisees, they're not really hooking up with Jesus. And he has to fight through all of that mentally. Did you know there's times, sometimes just to get to Jesus, you have to fight through stuff mentally. Sometimes, like these guys, you have to fight through stuff physically just to get to him. Amen? You gotta, and I don't know about you, but how many of you are ready for, you know, you're going to take this fight on. You're going to fight through everything that it takes just to get to him. Just to be with him. Now, let me share something with you. You know, on this case here, these four that are carrying the one, did you know that their first attempt failed? I want you to think about this. And there's a friend. I don't know if they're here today or not. I don't see him. I don't know. Sometimes people are downstairs. I don't know. But they had some things take place, and they had some stuff happen. And I know this. I know that it feels like a failure. You know what? These four guys carrying that one, their first attempt to Jesus did not succeed. What'd they do? They tried going in the door. Amen? They tried going in the door, but they couldn't get in the door. Why? Too many people standing in the road. Too many people in the way. And I'll bet you they did this. Sir, could you excuse me? We're trying to get this guy in. But you know what? This guy here, guess what? He's got his place in line. He's probably wanting to get to Jesus too. And guess what? He's not giving up his spot in line. How many of you ever been standing in line and see somebody cutting? What is your thought? Tap, tap. You know, we don't like people. They couldn't get in. They couldn't get in. Now, I don't get mad at me for this one either. Please. How many times do we do this? Well, I guess God closed the door. Was it God that closed that door? It wasn't God that closed that door. It was a bunch of hungry people wanting to get close to Jesus that was in the way. You know, but in our world today, we start thinking, well, God closed the door. Amen? God doesn't close every door that gets closed. Sometimes Satan closes doors. Sometimes people close doors. Sometimes we close doors. Amen? So don't run on the assumption, well, God closed the door. It didn't work. Must not be God's will. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. These four guys, they didn't do that. I should say five guys. They didn't do that. What did they do? After their first attempt failed, they backed up. They assessed the situation and they looked for another way. Bless God. Well, this is what we're going to do then. We're going to climb up on the roof. There ain't no people up there. And there, all we got to do is tear through that roof. I'll tell you what, sometimes it can be really hard to get through people. We could say it this way. Sometimes it'd be really hard to get through two people. Amen? Sometimes it's easier to tear a roof off than it is to get through people. Amen? It's fairly quiet in here. I wish it wasn't so quiet in here. But they had to fight to get to Jesus. Okay? You got anything you need to fight through to get to Jesus, to where you're spending more time with him? To where you're staying connected to the vine? We're right here in Luke 7, correct? Or that's Luke 5. Go to Luke 7 with me real quick. Here's another guy. I like this. I want you to think about this one. Different things that we might have to fight through to get to Jesus. You know what? I'd encourage you to write a list. I'd encourage you right now, Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. Talk to me right now. Help me identify the things that I have to fight past to get to Jesus. because they're there. And they're not the same for everybody. And what is it? It is at one point in time in your life, might not be at another point in time in your life. One of the things I had to do years ago, when the Holy Ghost talked to me about this, not people, not any human beings, but the Spirit of God talked to me, was about all my old music. I had to get rid of all my old music. I had to get past that to get to Jesus. Listen to all that stuff that it said and what it sang about, it wasn't going to be good for me. I had to get rid of that to get to Jesus. You know, sometimes you have to get rid of fun stuff. I won't tell you who, but it kind of made me sad when I heard it. But then, you know, kind of two sides of that coin. But I had a friend, and they had something that happened in their life. And it temporarily altered their life. It temporarily changed their life. They were not able to do the things that they had been doing because this circumstance happened in their life and changed their life. And I was visiting with them, and I was talking to them. And they weren't saying God did this to them. They weren't saying that at all. But here's what they did say to me. Said, well, one good thing that's come out of this, for the last year I haven't hardly read my Bible, but I've read it more in the last 2 weeks than you can shake a stick at. What'd that tell me? This thing that they had in their life that was fun, that was enjoyable for them, actually was the thing that they had to fight past to get to spend that quality time with Jesus. Amen. You got over to Luke chapter 7. Just read this real quick, starting at verse 1. Now when he concluded all of his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying, "The one for whom we should do this was worthy, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue." Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent a friend, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I do not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and I say to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And those who were sent returned to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. Wow. Now just think about this. This is crazy, and I won't get into all the details of it, but it's amazing. You got a Roman centurion, okay? And then you got Jewish folks. Typically, how well were Roman centurions and Jewish elders getting along? Typically, they're not real close. They're not real good friends. But there's something a little bit different about this Roman centurion, isn't there? Because the Jews will go to Jesus on behalf of him. And how many of you know that can be kind of crazy too? Here you got the Pharisees going to Jesus on behalf of a Roman centurion. All of that's a little bit crazy and a little bit mixed up. Do you think there's people having to fight through anything? Yeah. But here's the one I wanted to bring out. This Roman centurion, what did he say about himself twice? Did you guys catch it? Not worthy. Not worthy. Do you think he had to fight through an unworthiness? Have any of us in here ever had to fight through, "I've blown it so bad, I've messed up so bad, I'm not worthy"? And I wonder how many Christians, that's where they stopped. They quit trying. Because unworthy got them. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. This guy's fighting through that. He's fighting through the thought of, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy." Amen? You guys still with me? How many of you adding things to that list of what you have to fight past to get to Jesus? Because you know what a lot of people do? They stand outside an open door. Because the enemy has lied to them and said, well, you're not worthy. You messed up too bad. Or we got all these activities in our life that just really need to not be between us and Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know what I love what this guy did? I love what this Roman centurion. Isn't this cool? You know, did you catch verse 9? When Jesus heard these things, he marveled and turned around and said to the crowd, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Wow. Here's a guy struggling and having to fight through unworthiness. And Jesus ends up doing what? Bragging about him. I love what this guy did. This is what he did. He took truth to combat and fight and overcome the feelings of unworthiness. He defeated the feelings with the truth. Nudge someone and say, man, I'm listening to this. It's for me. Catch that again. He defeated his feelings. He overcame his feelings with truth. What was the truth? I too am a man placed under authority. And I say to one, do this, and he does it. I say to another, come, and he comes. He goes, I get that. And he got this about Jesus. He knew that Jesus was a man under the authority of God, and therefore he had authority. He used a truth to overcome his feelings. Do you know how many times we need to use the truth of God's word to overcome feelings? Because one of the things that we sometimes do is we allow feelings to dictate the course of our life. We allow feelings to tell us which way to turn. You know, I'm so glad that I don't let feelings rob me of my relationship with Jesus. Amen. How many of you taking something? You taking something? Grabbing a hold of something? Because this is good for us. This is good for us. Amen. Hallelujah. You take blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, he's going from one place to the next, and he's walking by, and what does blind Bartimaeus do? When he hears it's Jesus going by, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what do the people following Jesus tell him to do? Shut up! They sternly warned him to be quiet. I love what Bartimaeus did. He yelled even louder. How many of you know sometimes we need to yell even louder? Sometimes we need to yell louder than the naysayers. Sometimes we need to yell louder than the don't sayers. How many of you know there's sometimes people who are following Jesus that you're going to have to fight through to get to Jesus? There will be people who tell you, you can't do that. That doesn't work. Healing, that went away with the apostles. The gifts of the Spirit, that went away back then. You're going to have to fight through falsehoods and lies that followers of Jesus speak. You're going to have to fight through some stuff. I was talking with a good friend the other night, and Paul's thorn in the flesh came up. And this friend has dealt with a sickness for years. And pretty close to what he said is, well, I just get to live with it. You know, it's like Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul's thorn in the flesh, you guys, was not a sickness. It was not a sickness. But so many preachers have preached from the pulpit that Paul's thorn in the thorn in the flesh was a sickness. That here, this guy is believing a lie. And it's keeping him in bondage. It's keeping him away from the healing that Jesus Christ provided for him. I mean, think, what do you have to fight through? What do you have to fight through? What are the things that are keeping you away from? Anybody making any notes? Anybody making a list? Amen. We have to, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. This guy, he didn't think he was worthy. He didn't think he was worthy, but he took a truth. I too am a man placed under authority. I say to go, he goes. I say come, and he comes. Jesus, you have authority. Just say the word. Just say the word. He used truth to overcome unworthiness. He used truth to overcome feelings. Man, next time you got feelings that are rising up and telling you can't, you shouldn't, you're not good enough, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Find a truth. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to bring this to a close, and I just want you to go over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Hallelujah. John chapter 15. And then as I bring it to an end with this, the day in, the day out, the everyday things that we do as believers that are in the will of God, that are the Word of God, those everyday things that we should do, keep doing those everyday things. You know, that devotion in the morning, that prayer time, that those things that keep you connected to the vine. Keep doing them every day, because there are so many times that it's out of the everyday, ordinary practices of a believer that the supernatural comes. That's so true. That's so true. That is so true, you guys. Does a vine attach itself to the branch when it wants to produce fruit? We as believers lots of times are going through life and we need fruit in our life, so we decide to attach ourselves to the branch. We decide to attach ourselves to Jesus. Oh, disaster has hit my life. I gotta hook up with Jesus. But a vine stays hooked up all the time. And then fruit is produced. But it comes out of that divine connection. That's there you go, man. It comes out of that divine connection. It was all worth it just for that, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, but that's what's so important. That's a big part of what I want you to take away. Those everyday connections. Doing what we know to do. Doing the word. Even when we don't know what to do, I know to do the word. I know to stay connected. I know to pray. I know to meditate. I know to read. I know to hang out with people of like precious faith. All these things that I know to do, in the doing of those things, fruit will get produced. You know what? Vines get like this. Boy, well, it's getting a little dry. I need to go hook back up. How many of you know sometimes hooking back up is not as simple as we'd like to think it is? Because we didn't realize it, but we let a lot of stuff get in between us and the branch. Or turn that around. I think I'm saying it backwards here a few times. We're the branches. He's the vine. Yep. All those times I said it wrong, put it right, okay? So, praise God. Let's just read this. John 15. I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may be more fruit. You know what? Could you say in essence today that Maybe there's a little pruning going on. You got to turn to somebody and say, oh, God, thank you for pruning me. Amen? Because I guarantee you, getting pruned is better than the other option. Because you know what the other option is, don't you? Yeah. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Isn't that interesting? They're already clean because of the word that was spoken. But then what's the next instruction? Abide in me. You're already clean, you guys. You're already clean because of the word that was spoken. Now, abide in me. Just because we're clean doesn't mean the abiding stops. Why? Because the life comes through the abiding. Abide in me and I in you, that as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Amen? Oh, abiding, abiding. And like I said, so many times the supernatural comes out of the everyday abiding. I'm praying that we get this. I'm praying that, you know, and here's what I know. Here's what I know. I know, you know, in your head that what I'm saying is true. But how many of you know it's one thing to know it, it's another thing to live it? And one of the deceptions that the enemy brings to us is we associate I know with I'm doing. And they're not always the same. It's like my friend, every time they'd say, I know that, I know that, I know that. And it bugged me in my spirit. And I asked God, God, why does that bug me? And he said, because people associate knowing and they equate it to them automatically being a doer. And just knowing the word does not make you a doer of the word. It just doesn't. But our mind tricks us, or the enemy tricks us in our mind and says, well, you know that. Yeah, I know it. Am I doing it? Am I doing it? And what God put in my heart for all of us down here, that's kind of why I don't want to leave it too quickly. What God put in my heart when I was at the minister's conference it wasn't just a minister's conference, but all kinds of folks were there, so it was good. But the mornings were prayer. And the first morning with Lynette Hagen, we all just got down and prayed. And what the Lord dropped in my heart and showed me is that you got to fight just to get to Jesus. And that's true even for people who are born again, because the thinking in our head has caused us to disconnect from the vine. Yeah, I got it right this time. Praise God. You know, so I really exhort you, I challenge you. I know I'm not telling you anything new, but I'm telling you something that's true. I'm telling you something that has life in it. Amen, and I'm telling you something that we all need to know. I've been guilty of this, you guys. I've been guilty of knowing it in my head, but not being connected like I'm supposed to be to the vine. Amen. Now, last verse of Scripture. Did I say I would quit with John chapter 15? How many of you will let me go to Acts chapter 2? Not Acts chapter 2. That's wrong, but I'll tell you which one when we get there. I think it's Acts chapter 3. I just want you to see this. Just want you to see this. Acts chapter 3, it won't take me very long. Familiar passages of Scripture for a lot of us. Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. What was it? It was the hour of prayer. What do you think Peter and John did on a regular basis? On the hour of prayer, they went and prayed. So did they have a routine? Yep. They had the everyday, ordinary, nothing special routine. We have the everyday, ordinary, nothing special, branch connected to the vine every day. Amen. Dorothy blesses me. You know, she takes communion every day. I do not take communion every day. And in church, I don't take communion every week even. We don't take church here. And my reasoning is I don't want it to become a ritual. And somebody said to Dorothy one time when she shared with them that she takes communion every day, she goes, they said, well, that'll just become a ritual. And she goes, oh, you mean like reading your Bible? I thought, that was a good answer, man. It's good. Yeah, every day, reading my Bible. Every day, reading my Bible. Doesn't seem so supernatural. Anybody, you ever have to fight through? I just ain't getting nothing out of this. Mm-hmm. You ever just had to fight? This is dry. This is boring. Go ahead, be honest. Everybody has read their Bible who's been reading it for any length of time and just gone, man, I'm not getting anything out of this. But what do? You do it anyway. You do it anyway. Do you ever water a plant and see no change in that plant instantly? What do? You keep watering the plant. Amen. Old illustration, bamboo tree. Guy waters it 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, nothing happened. How many of you ready to give up on that bamboo tree? Waters it a fourth year, nothing happens. Fifth year, nothing happens. Waters a sixth year, and it grows 80 feet. What was going on those first 5 years? Roots. Roots were going down. Most folks give up on watering the tree. Most folks give up on watering themselves if they don't see something soon enough. Folks, stay in there the everyday. Just doing it. Amen. You know, too many people miss the supernatural looking for the spectacular. There are so many times when the supernatural happens with you sitting at your kitchen table reading your Bible. What's happening? Watering, roots going down, staying connected to the vine. Amen. But watch this. So they've just been doing this. They've been going down this road for quite a while. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily. How often was this guy laid there? Daily. I'll bet you this guy is glad. Think about this. You think this guy is glad that he had a daily routine? Oh, you might as well look at someone and say, that's good. That's good. What happened if this guy chose to skip this day? What happens when we just take the branch and disconnect it from the vine for a day? Going to miss something, whether it's something spectacular or whether it's just everyday life flowing in. Something's going to be missed. This is cool from both sides. This is cool from Peter's side and John's side and the crippled guy's side, because they both had a practice. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, and asked alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. And he gave his attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he leaped up, stood, and walked into the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. This miracle was born out of an everyday routine for both sides, for the crippled guy and for Peter and John. Amen? Guys, it's so important to stay attached to the vine And don't let the knowledge that you have up here replace the heart relationship. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. I'll stop there. Praise God. And you know what? Glory to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Father God, I just thank you so much. I thank you, Father, so much. I thank you so much, God. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. Would you just pray, just yourself right now, just you pray, just you talk to your Father, amen? Talk to him right now. You just pray. Just pray. Oh, Father, we just praise you right now. We just worship you. I love you so much, Father God. I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Father, that your word is a light. Your word is a lamp. I thank you, Father, that your word is the bread of life. I thank you, God, that your word is supernatural. I thank you, Father, that your words, the word that Jesus said to us, they are spirit and they are life. They are life and life more abundantly. So, Father, today in this place, as your word has been shared, light comes. Light comes. As your word has been shared, God, life comes. Life comes. Father, nourishment comes. Strength comes. Miracle producing energy comes, Father God. Sustaining us through the tough times, Father God, comes. I just thank you for each person here. I thank you for the plans that you have for them, Father. I thank you for the purposes you've created them for, Father. I thank you that new creatures in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Just thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, God. Praise you so much, Father. Hallelujah. Let's all go ahead and stand up. Babe, if the worship team would go up, that would be awesome. Let's just stand up. Okay, thank you. All right, got it. Last minute change, Brian. You guys aren't going up there. Diana did a last minute change. Amen. And how many of you know that is a lady's parole?